Maganda umaga and namaste. It's great to have you here this morning as we celebrate two wonderful and powerful days for us as people, as a culture, and as a church. Today we come and remember Pentecost, the birthday of the church, where people came together from many cultures, many traditions, and many languages, received that spirit that drew them together in the ways of love. And so we come to celebrate that and to try and continue to grow in the ways of church, the full voice of the church, to be the full people of God, to do what we are asked to do or can do, to share God's love and God's grace in the world. But also we know, and probably more importantly, right? It is Mother's Day. It is Mother's Day. We come to remember and to celebrate those who loved us dearly and intimately with loving and powerful hands. And so today I want to start with this. On May 7th, 1918, near New Holland, Ohio, George Weidinger and Jenny Marie Weidinger gave birth to their fifth child named Jenny Mae Weidinger. You know who that is, right? Okay. Well, Jenny Mae, she was the first daughter of, there were four brothers, she was the first daughter. And Grandma Metzger just went nuts on her. She thought she was the best thing in the world. I never met Grandma Metzger, but she just came and a granddaughter, finally she had a granddaughter. And so she took Jenny Mae, whose family was not church attenders at the time, took her to the Lutheran church in Circleville, Ohio, and had her baptized a Lutheran. Not a Methodist, a Lutheran. Well, Jenny Mae, in 1939, she was living on, what's that road? She told me all the time. Well, she was living outside of New Holland, Ohio, and next door, a tenant farmer moved in with his sister named Wendell Leroy Shaw. And I'm guessing they eyed each other over the fence post. Because they came to know each other. They came to love each other. They eloped to Kentucky. And that's a story she told all the time. And then they went to housekeeping, as she called it. They went to housekeeping and farming on that road. And as I remember my mother, who I have just described to you, as I remember this mother, my mother, this second Mother's Day after her passing, I remember her hands. Her hands were kind of short like mine. That's where I think I get that. They were kind of short, but they did so much. I remember as a child when I went to elementary school, we would get on the bus to go to school, and at lunchtime, we'd get on the bus to come home. Anybody else do that? We'd get on the bus to come home and have lunch at home, get back on the bus, and go to school. These days, you couldn't do that with gas prices the way they are, right? That's just impossible. But I would come home from school, and on that table, on our kitchen table, because we did not have a dining room, on our kitchen steel metal table with a white top with this this red outside. You know the table? You probably had one too. This red painting on the outside. It weighed like 3 tons. You could barely move it. It was solid steel. But on that table was a bowl of tomato soup and a grilled cheese sandwich. Mom had served that with her hands. I had that almost every day for lunch, and for about 6 years afterwards, I couldn't stand grilled cheese and tomato soup. I can eat it now, but I couldn't back then. But I remember her hands serving me lunch. I remember Mom's hands as she used to take tea bags, Lipton tea bags, and boil them for hours to make iced tea. Anybody do that? Boil them for hours in this big pot. It smelled awful as it was boiling, but she would take that and put it in a large mason crock and let that cool off and then pour in tons of sugar because Mom loved it sweet. She put sugar in her corn and beans. She loved everything sweet. It's amazing I'm not a diabetic now. We had sugar in everything. I remember Mom's hands taking flour. And she had a sifter. One of these? She had a sifter. She'd sift flour on the table, on that metal table. And she'd spread that out and she'd put it up together and then she'd make a hole in the middle. And then what would you do? You know what I'm talking about, right? You crack the egg, you put it in there, in the middle. It looked like a volcano for us kids. It looked like a volcano. She'd mix that, and she'd put that together. She'd roll it into a ball, and she'd take that rolling pin. She always had a cover for it. She took that cover off the pin, and it was always dusty or flour on it. She'd set that aside, and then she'd roll that, and then she'd take a knife, and she'd cut those noodles. She'd cut the noodle strips, and I remember her hands. And you know where they're going, right? There was a pot of boiling chicken. It had been boiling there for years because the bones were falling apart. But it's boiling there to get all that good stuff out of there. And she just gently dropped those in. And we had chicken and noodles on mashed potatoes with corn and beans. It was just, you know, we all just quit now and go find some place to eat. I'm making myself hungry. I remember those hands. Hands that fed me, hands that cleaned me, hands that washed my face, hands that tended to the scrapes on my knees when I fell off my bicycle or hurt myself in other ways or fell out of the tree as I did once. But also hands that disciplined this fool child that stands before you now, that made sure I was tended to in every way proper. And I tell you this stuff today, not just because I can share about my mom's story, because I happen to be the pastor. Or I don't share this stuff with you today just to pull out some sentimentality, because I don't think this day ought to be about sentiment. It's about love. That's what it's about. It's about deep love. It's about full love. I tell you these things today because how we know the love of Jesus Christ, where we begin to know that and where we begin to grow in that is at the hands of those who have loved us the best and loved us first. Be they our mothers or our fathers or our grandmothers or grandfathers or aunts or uncles or neighbors or friends. There have been those that have mothered us with loving hands. And it is a wonderful day to remember, even as it is a difficult day, for those of us who have lost our mothers and remember, for those of us perhaps whose mothers weren't as loving as others have been. We know this can be a difficult day for those who have lost loved ones and are in that situation. And yet, we want to acknowledge how powerful and how awesome it has been to be loved with the hands of Jesus by those who have loved us best. We come today to remember. Our gospel is a gospel of the world, of all people. Christ came so that all might know, but we come to remember. The gospel love that we know in Jesus Christ is very intimate and very personal. In the gospel lesson today, an unusual reading, is it not, for Pentecost? I didn't read you a Pentecost reading. I read you a Mother's Day reading. Jesus is dying on the cross. He's suffering. He's being tortured. And yet, the last thing he does, you know, one verse it says it's been, once it was completed, the last thing he does before it's completed is he turns to his friend and his colleague and the disciple John and said, "Here's your mother. And mother, here's your son." He made sure love was tended to in his own family, even as he gave up his spirit, that he might then tend to the love of the world around him. And for all of us here today, that Jesus who we knew on the cross, who said, "John, here's your mother, you need to take care of her, and you need to acknowledge him as your son, Mom." That same Messiah that tended to his mother also we know, didn't see love just within his own family or in his own culture, in his own people or language group. He saw that love and that grace that he knew intimately going throughout the world. As he entertained outcasts, as he entertained Roman soldiers who tortured his own people, as he forgave people some of the worst of sins, as he broke bread with anybody that wanted to hear about the love of God, the outcasts, the sinners, and nobody, those who nobody wanted to see, Christ would see and Christ would love. And when he was asked about what it means to be a neighbor, who did he talk about? Somebody called a Samaritan, who was a foreigner, who his people hated. That's who your neighbor is. That's what he told. We come here today to remember intimate hands that loved us and fed us. And we come here today to remember we're called to share that love in as many ways as we can. I shared with you about chicken noodles. Mom cutting them noodles. And how she worked that up. I just remember that. But also I remember my mom was also, when I was a young child, my Sunday school teacher and our Sunday school superintendent. And I had to be in her class. I couldn't get away with anything in Sunday school. In fact, the pastor's kid got away with more than I did. And that's just wrong, isn't it? But I remember one lesson especially she taught me. An unusual lesson. I remember one day she talked about this country called China. And this was before I even went to school. This country called China, I had never even heard of, even knew there was another country. She talked about this country of China the missionaries went to. And she had cooked some rice. And she brought in these two sticks called chopsticks. And we small town farm boys had to try to eat that rice with chopsticks. A grain at a time. A grain at a time. And it was awful rice. You know that cardboard stuff in the stores? Not real rice. Not that jasmine stuff. Not that great stuff. That awful rice. But those chopsticks and remembering that other people, other places were talking about Jesus. that it's not just about us. The hands that fed me also taught me. The gospel goes beyond ourselves. We come here today wanting to honor those who loved us with those kinds of hands. Not just to honor and remember. Because I don't think my mama loved me just so I could feel love, but to love me so I could live fully and love others as I have been loved. We want to come today to honor their memory and to honor what they did for us. And not just to remember in nostalgic or sentimental ways, but to honor as we continue that same kind of love and grace in different kinds of ways. We want to be able to those in our world who do not have the resources, the power, or authority, the mothers in our world that cannot with their hands feed their children because they don't have enough. They cannot with their hands teach their children about their faith because they don't have the materials, or they're too tired because they don't have enough to eat. We want to give mothers the opportunity to use their hands to pour clean drinking water for their kids, to have the energy to take their kids into their lap and read them a story. We want to be part of that, so the hands we knew of love, we can take our hands and share that love, not just intimately, but in wonderful and powerful ways in the world around us. So today, with a partnership of our Micah ministry team, we want to ask you to do something very small, but very significant. And we want to do something on behalf of hunger in the world. And I know you're thinking, it's time to reach for my wallet. No, that's not what this is about. It's not about taking a pledge. It's not about money, at least our money. It's about our voice. We want to ask you to write a letter. A little thing. Write a letter to those who are political leaders in our country that they might, in the authority they have, the power they have, they might hear our voice out of the Christian witness of Christ is that a priority ought to be a priority because of our faith, our priority because of smart policy, a priority because there are hungry people in the world that will not get fed unless we do something. We're asking them to make it a priority to be part of what we would call Christ love, whatever their perspective might be, to make it a priority to feed hungry people. To make it a priority to fund things of education, things of agriculture and nutrition, that mothers might have with their hands do what our mothers did for us. And it's a simple thing. Write a letter. That's all we're asking you to do. But when we do the little things, amazing things can happen. I want to show you a short video clip. It's a music clip. It's a music video for those of you that know what that is. I didn't know what that was for a few years. Just recently. I want to show a music clip by a band called Nickelback. They're a secular band, but it's a powerful piece that talks about when we do little things out of seeing compassion and love and grace, amazing things happen. I'm going to show you a video about a guy named Bob who was a punk rocker. I don't even know what a punk rocker is, but this guy named Bob noticed a picture. He saw a newscast, and he took the time to pay attention. He saw a picture of hungry children and he did something. And something happened. I want to show you the story of a guy named Peter who all he did was write a letter to the newspaper. I want to show you a little clip about a guy named Nelson who as a child just dreamed. That's all he did. He dreamed about equality and respect for everybody no matter who they were. And I want to show you a clip of a mother named Betty who saw something that touched her heart in her community. And she asked people to come walk with her. And yet she started a peace process. So pay attention to this and notice what little things can do.
Underneath the trees, we watch the sky, confusing stars, the satellites. I never dreamed that you'd be mine, but here we are, we're here tonight. Singing, hey, man, I'm alive, I'm alive. Singing, hey, man,
walked right through all the stones, all the bottles, and whatever they threw, we have won a major victory.
All they did was walk. The words of a mother. She saw and she was touched. All they did was start by walking. The words of a mother. We want to be part of those little efforts, and what we do may not, you know, result in some things that they did. But it started with small things. And when we do small things on behalf of love and grace, amazing things can happen. We want to ask you, we're going to ask you to write a letter. Write a letter to one of our senators asking them about funding in terms of the legislation for world hunger that has to do with agriculture, that has to do with education, it has to do with nutrition. You'll see it in the bulletin. But first, let me say this. I know some of you would say, as I have talked about issues of hunger and how do we help others, often there are questions about that, you know. Well, aren't there other agencies and organizations that do this? Why this way? And there are. Here at the church, we're involved with Heifer Project at Christmas time. We're involved with World Vision that helps hungry people in the world. We're involved with Church World Service through our Crop Walk. We do those. And those are important pieces. But it's not always enough. And the power of sometimes public agencies to do things is a major part of often what needs to happen. What would it mean for us to encourage those who have access to the kind of resources and talent within the public sphere to advocate to invest in the ways of Christ's love? What would it mean for us to advocate for those and people of authority and power to invest in ways of biblical wisdom? As the Bible teaches us, we are to care for widows and orphans. That's the priority. What would it mean for us to encourage that and how many things can happen? In the last few years, the United States has given has increased each year $1 billion in investing in those things. And they've seen amazing results. If you watch the news about these things, some of the issues in terms of our government and investing in AIDS treatment in Africa and certain villages are doing amazing things that Christ just celebrates with. What if we did the same and ask, let's increase that so more people can be touched, because the need is great. Secondly, people ask about that, but also when I get into these discussions, some people will say, where does charity begin? Charity begins at home. Have you heard that? And we agree. It begins at home, but also it begins with others too. It's not either or. It's both and. We know in the church here, we have the food pantry that we have here for people who can come here, as well as we help with the Schomburg food pantry. We go to the soup kitchen to help serve the homeless in Chicago. We're involved in the Society of St. Andrew that feeds the homeless in the United States only. Some of us have gleaned potatoes and apples, and I really wouldn't advocate gleaning apples. You run into those worms, and it's an awful mess in your hand. I'm telling you, it's messy. But we have done that. We've had a potato drop here, where we've bagged potatoes for food pantries and soup kitchens throughout the area. Last year, we had some of our MICA ministry team advocated for a farm bill that this year is increasing the amount those who don't have enough food to eat that they will get. Reverend Beckman, the president of Bread for the World, says these days, those who don't have enough food or a job so they can feed their own families, the money they get pays for 3 out of 4 weeks of the month. What do you do that last week? And so this year, the Farm Bill has increased that funding, so that's not the way it is. And it's tied assistance to inflation. That if you got enough to feed for a month, but have milk prices went up? Have egg prices went up? Yeah. But it's tied to inflation so their hands can feed their children. Also, this last Thursday, we're interested about local too. This last Thursday, our clergy association, 15 or 16 members strong. We committed to this coming fall in September to be part of a community-wide effort to increase our commitment to the food pantry, to collect money so that they might have funding in cans, and also to partner with a local school that has needy children around the issue of enough to eat. We are committed to here and there at the same time. So I prayerfully ask you, consider what we're about to do. The insert in your bulletin, you'll see two inserts. I would ask you to take those out now. One is white and one is goldenrod or yellow. On the white one is a model letter that Bread for the World has given us, that our MICA ministry team has put together. We would ask you to prayerfully consider write this letter or something very close to it. write it to our senators. You see a place for their names. You see a place in terms of the information. We ask that you share that with it. Put your name and address on it. Put it in the envelope with their address and your return address so that they know you live in Illinois and you do represent them. So, and put that in the envelope and then address that. We'll collect that in a little bit. All right? And the address is on the back of that. The address is on the back of that. Secondly, though, I know some people just don't like to do that. And that's not a problem for us. And some of you may even be visiting from out of state, which obviously that doesn't make a lot of sense for you. If you look at the goldenrod, if you do not want to write a letter to your representative, in the three to four minutes we've got coming up, as everybody is writing, as others are writing to their representative, you'll see a prayer for hunger. I would ask you, write that out on that paper. And then you'll see at the bottom two numbers, 1 and 2. After you've written the prayer, write down two people you know that are in need of material assistance you're going to pray for. Be that in this country or other countries or within our community. If you can't think of anybody that you know of right now, at the very bottom you'll see a number of names that myself and others know within this Chicagoland area that need material assistance. Use those names instead. So write to our senator. I'd advocate you do that. If not, write the prayer. We're going to collect those in a little bit. Bless those as part of our offering for letters. So I encourage you to begin writing.
Together let us mourn. Jesus our Lord is crucified. 7 times he spoke 7 words of love, and all 3 hours his silence cried for mercy on the souls of man. Jesus our Lord is crucified. Our Lord is crucified. Oh, break, hard heart of mine, my weak self-love and guilty pride. His violent and his Judas were, Jesus our Lord is crucified. Tears, ask and they will not be denied. A broken heart, love's cradle is Jesus our Lord is crucified. Jesus our Lord is crucified. Jesus our Lord is crucified. Our Lord is crucified. Dread at your strength is tried, Jesus, our Lord is crucified. Don't mourn with me while crucified. Lord is we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that our unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love, yeah, they'll by our love.
Him now, if you're not done, we do want to bring them some up, the ones we have now, and bless. We'll put the baskets in the back so you can put, if you're not quite finished, you can put those in the back as well.
Side by side, we will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yeah, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Our love, by our love.
Still have some. There's some more back there. Yeah. Nancy back there. We would like to bring these forward with, for a blessing. If you still have them, they'll be in the back. After the service, they'll be in the narthex, our lobby. If you can put in the baskets there, we encourage you to do that. So if you'd please bring those forward. And let's stand for a blessing for this offering of letters. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift you have given us, for this community and for ways of love and grace. We thank you the call that you have given us that we might partner with you in love and grace and be part of your kingdom. We especially pray on this Mother's Day, giving thanks for the hands that fed us, that we too might be those hands and those heart and those the feet of Jesus that take us to places where we can love and serve others. So bless these letters this day. Might the prayers that have been written truly touch those who are in need. And might the letters we have written to those who are in authority and power, might it touch their hearts, that more people might get fed, that that mothers might be able to feed their children. Because, Lord, we are called to do that as Christ calls us. So bless these letters, bless these people, and bless our community of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you please now join us as we sing our final hymn?